Okay, this episode of the Opie Radio Podcast, sponsored by SkylightFrame.com. Use the promo code Opie, O-P-I-E. Today would have been Patrice O'Neill's 51st birthday. I mean, it's the amount of people that were associated with the Opie and Anthony show and then my solo radio show, the amount of people that are no longer with us, it's just, at this point, it's just completely overwhelming. Hard to believe that Patrice O'Neill would have only been 51 years old. He left us, I don't know, how many years ago at this point? 7, 8 years ago? He was in his early 40s. You're not supposed to die in your early 40s. Carl Ruiz, mid-40s. Vic Henley, late 50s. Just goes on and on and on. It's just incredible, man. It's just incredible that Patrice O'Neill is no longer with us. Hilarious, thought-provoking, deep, intelligent as fuck. His brain just worked very differently. And I'm telling you, man, we had Chris Rock. We had Louis C.K. We had Bill Burr, Dane Cook, Ron White, Jim Brewer. I mean, the list of amazing comedians that did the radio show over the years, and those guys, obviously unbelievable in their own right, but in the end, now that I'm pretty much semi-retired, meaning I don't think I'm going to be getting huge comedians anytime soon for the podcast, I can safely say that Patrice O'Neill was by far the funniest and the best comedian that ever did a radio show that I was part of. He crushed it every single time. And how his mind worked was incredible. He always had a twist that was so much different than the average Joe and his fellow comedians. God, is he missed. Especially during this time where the world seems like it's upside down. You need someone like Patrice O'Neill. You know, there's a lot of comics out there. They're doing a very good job during this coronavirus pandemic, but you could only imagine that Patrice O'Neill's take on this would have been just off the fucking hook. So I'll be thinking of Patrice O'Neill all day today. I just tweeted out a video, if you follow me on Twitter, that cesspool that is known as Twitter. I'm Opie Radio on Twitter, but I'm tweeting way less. I'd rather like turn this on, hang out with you guys, than waste my time on that garbage. But I understand that it's a good way to promote stuff, so that's the only reason I'm still on Twitter. But I just tweeted a video. I think it was Patrice O'Neill's last moment on the Opie and Anthony show. I'm not 100% positive, but I think it was the last time Patrice O'Neill came in. And Warren Haynes was in, and I remember we didn't see Patrice for a little bit, and I remember thinking to myself that Patrice looked a little different. It looked like he lost a little weight. He looked a little worn out, but he came in, and he was beyond hilarious. And then Warren Haynes was fiddling around with his guitar, and Patrice O'Neill decided he wanted to do a song. So he picked it. Howling Wolf, Going Down Slow, which is an amazing song, by the way. You should listen to the original. And all of a sudden, Warren Haynes is like, yeah, of course I know that one. And he starts playing the song, and we got the lyrics for Patrice. And Patrice just crushed it. He absolutely fucking crushed the song. And I remember looking around the studio, and everyone's just like, oh, my God, wow. It was like a moment. It was a moment. And then to realize that Patrice left us not too long after that, you look back on that performance and you think to yourself, did fucking Patrice know something that we didn't know?
It's going to be Patrice O'Neill and Warren Haynes.
Man, this is all spoken. Man, you know I've been enjoying things that kings and queens will never have. In fact, kings and queens can never get. And they don't even know about it.
Great googly moogly.
I have had my fun. If I never get well no more. than a millionaire. Cause if I had kept all my money that I already spent, I would have been a millionaire a long time ago. And women, ooh, women. Shape I'm in. Please write my mama. Tell her the shape I'm in. Tell her to pray for me. Forgive me for my sin.
God damn.
That's that's Holland Wolf. You gotta listen to Holland Wolf though, man.
So with that, big guy, I wish you were still here. Happy 51st. Whatever you believe. People always like to say stuff like, you know he's watching. You know he's still with us. Patrice O'Neal would be losing his fucking mind if he was floating around way up there somewhere, because he has so much to fucking say. Oh, it would drive him nuts if he was in some other form. Imagine Patrice O'Neal if reincarnation is real, and he's just walking around as pretty much a nobody. With his brilliance, trying to tell people he used to be somebody in his past life. Fuck. I'm trying to have fun with this, but it hurts. It still hurts. He's a guy that I'm not going to say I think about him every day, but I certainly think about him on a very regular basis. A very regular basis. I was thinking about yesterday because I knew today was his birthday. After the live stream, I was sitting out there for a couple more minutes, and I was thinking, how is it possible that Patrice O'Neal, Carl Ruiz, and Vic Henley are all gone? Those three guys gave amazing, amazing radio, and all three of them are gone. Just nuts. It is beautiful out here. Oh, my God. Rachel, what's up, Rachel? How are you? Lisa Connor, good morning, Buttercup. I don't know why that makes me laugh every single time, but it does. It is a crisp, almost winter morning here at the ocean. I think we're looking at, I would say, about 22 degrees on your home of rock and roll. No wind. Got my ski pants on. My winter gear, sitting here with a cup of coffee that's already pretty much iced coffee. It only lasted about, 5 minutes out here. Pat Duffy has entered the room. Had a great conversation with Pat Duffy. Talked about everything, man. His time with the Opie and Anthony show. How his time with the Opie and Anthony show ended. We played a whole bunch of clips from his time on the show. All those insane, incredible, shock jockey, dare I say, stunts that he did. And then we talked about life after the Opie and Anthony show. Pat Duffy, damn, bro, you're good at this shit. And it's funny because the episode ends abruptly because I didn't have enough batteries in my my recording device. Someday I'll figure all this out. Someday. I really thought the batteries would last for a 30, 40-minute conversation. About an hour, a little over an hour in, my recorder died in the middle of a damn good rant. So then I went upstairs. I got some new, brand-new batteries, and there's actually a part two that's coming out later this week. So there you have it. But, Pat, thank you so much for doing the episode. It was really, really good catching up with you. But I got to say, listening to the old Opie and Anthony stuff, I mean, it was good to reminisce, but it put me in kind of a, I'll be honest, a shitty mood for the rest of the weekend. I don't know what it is, but I just don't like listening to the old Opie and Anthony audio. I know a lot of people still love checking out the old show, and I like that a lot. But for me, I don't know. Too much went on. Too much bullshit. Too much toxicity. Too much anger. Too much of too much went on. So it makes it really, really hard for me to listen to that old stuff. I'm trying to pepper more of it into the podcast, but I don't know, man. It just puts me in a mood. It's kind of sad. Because if I listen to an old episode of me, Carl, Sherrod, and Vic, it makes me extremely happy, even knowing that two of those guys are now no longer with us. But listening back to that version of the show makes me so fucking happy. And then because I wanted to get Pat Duffy on the podcast, and I put him off for a really, really long time. And one of the reasons is because I don't want to dip into the old Opie and Anthony world too much, because I know what it does to me, sadly. Sadly, it's my problem. It's not anyone else's problem. But it doesn't make me happy at all, which is kind of a bummer, to be honest with you. And then I'm finding clips for the episode that's out now, part one of the Pat Duffy interview. And I'm listening to old clips, which I rarely do. And, man, there's so much of it I don't even remember. I don't remember that we had a competition between Pat Duffy and Eastside Dave who could get crazier and more gross. I think it was called Duty Wars or something like that. I had no recollection until I started listening back to some of these clips. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then even listening to the clips, I don't have all the details in my head. It's almost like I blocked it out. So anyway, that episode is out there for your listening pleasure, and I hope you enjoy it. It was kind of fun to put it together, kind of. Kind of. I think it took another little piece of my soul, to be honest with you, but... And, you know, now we move on and do other episodes, and then eventually we'll dip back into the Opie and Anthony world, I'm sure. But I got to spread that shit out. Get to the chopper! Yeah, Steve, right on, Steve. You know what's funny about Arnold Schwarzenegger? So last night we went to some kind of light show out here on Long Island for the kids, and it was actually very, very nice. I enjoyed it a lot. Christmas music and lights. You stay in your car, and you drive around really slow. It's about a 40-minute thing. Kids loved it. Opened up the sunroof. They're jumping up and down, you know, checking it out from the sunroof. I got a dog on my lap as I'm trying to drive the car. It was absolutely insane, but fun. On the way home, my kids started talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they only know him. This is what's so funny about life. You know, they're obviously very, very young. They know Arnold Schwarzenegger because they're on their iPads a lot, watching the YouTube videos. They know him for being an old guy that has a pet donkey that he feeds at his table in the morning at his house. That's how they know Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then they asked me, Daddy, who is Arnold Schwarzenegger? What, you know, why do people check him out on online? He was the biggest movie star in the world, and they had no understanding of that whatsoever. And then my wife piped in and said, yeah, and then he became a governor. And my kids were like, he's just an old guy with a donkey. I'm like, oh, my God. Eventually, life gets all of us. Benjamin Tucker. Oh, yeah, the guy walking the dog there. Yeah. Speaking of dogs, my dog got a haircut over the weekend. And they did a terrible job. I got this beautiful golden doodle. It looks basically like a mop. You can't see his eyes. When I walk him on this beach, people stop and say, oh, my God, he's adorable. He's so cute. He's the cutest dog I've ever seen. Oh, my God. They freaking lose their minds. But it was time to get him groomed, you know, get his asshole hairs trimmed up nice. So when he goes duty, he's not bringing duty into the house. And then they trimmed up his balls and his pee-pee to make that all nice for him. And then they trimmed up his paws because I guess the hair growing in between Well, are they toes? I don't even know what they're called. Claws? I guess that could be irritating. And then they clipped his toenails. And then they were supposed to just trim around his eyes so he could see a little better. They shaved this fucking dog's face down. They used a razor, even though we said do not use a razor. Just use clippers. We don't want too much taken off his face because we understand how he looks so cute with the moppy hair and it's all curly and stuff and you barely see his eyes. My wife was waiting outside, and someone's got to explain why it takes 2 or 3 hours. Do they drug the dogs or not? The dogs? Was that the Long Island accent kicking in? Or is it the fact that it's really cold out here? But do they drug the dogs when they groom them? I need to know from an expert, and I'm sure one of you guys know this shit. Because it took 2 or 3 hours. So my thought process is, why does it take 2 or 3 hours? They must give him a little something-something, knock him out a little bit so they could take a razor and clippers to his face and everything else without him jumping around like a lunatic. Because I know when I try to cut around his eyes with scissors every once in a while, he loses his mind. And my wife kept calling, and they're like, oh, it'll be another hour. I'm like, is that because he's out cold and they're waiting for him to wake the fuck up? And then the dog finally came out. And my wife looked at the dog and said, that's not my dog. He looks like a completely different dog. I can't even put him on camera anymore because you would be horrified. I don't know what the fuck they did to the damn thing. He's got straight bangs. There's an ST word again. He's got straight bangs across his forehead. And then because of his long floppy ears, it looks like he has long hair on the sides. He looks ridiculous. He looks insane, to be honest with you. And then we called up, you know, we're not these type of people, actually. We're pretty much, we're not Karens. But we called up and said, yo, what did you do to the dog? This is not what we wanted. Oh, I'm sorry you're not happy. I'm sorry you're not happy. You know when you get that, I'm sorry you're not happy, but they don't mean it. They're like rolling their eyes on the other side of the phone. I'm sorry you're not happy with how it came out. And my wife goes, yeah, we said not to use clippers. We didn't use clippers. I'm like, it's so obvious they used clippers. They shaved his nose down where you could almost see his skin. You don't want to see the skin of a dog ever. Ever. I'm sorry you're not happy. Maybe you could bring him back. And we're like, we're not bringing him back. You're going to make it worse. And then the hair on his snout, the top of his snout is shaved down where you can almost see the skin. And then the sides of the snout, the hair is really, really long. So now he looks like he has a giant bushy mustache with straight bangs across his forehead. He looks like, is it Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber that has the stupid haircut? He looks like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber. That's how I'll say that. So we're hoping that the hair grows in quickly. Because it's certainly not what we wanted, my God. And then, you know, you do the right thing, I think, and you complain. And then they get mad at you. I'm like, but why are you mad at me? You didn't do your job properly. This is not what we wanted. Bring them back. We'll cut more off. Jeff Burry, you know this world. Yeah, bring them back. We're like, we ain't bringing them back, and we're never going back there again. So, that was my weekend. I hope everyone else had a fine, fine weekend. Jeff Berry for the dog, 100 stars. Thank you. I appreciate it. I actually really appreciate that. Maybe they will give you a free haircut to make up for it. Are you crazy, Arnie? Why would I go back if the first haircut was bad? We're never going back there again. It's obvious that it's someone new or someone that didn't give a shit. I love the people. It happens with human haircuts, too. I've had a lot of bad haircuts over the years. I'll go in and tell them exactly what I want. They'll nod, okay. And then they'll do whatever the fuck they want. Because in their heads, they're like, this stupid schmuck that has been living with his face and his hair for all these years, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I know what I'm doing. And then their ego gets in the way because they think you're going to be happy no matter what, even though you're not getting the haircut you wanted. Bob Lord had a sad weekend. Why did you have a sad weekend, Bob? Don't tell me you were exposed to the coronavirus, because more and more of you have been exposed to the coronavirus. I was talking to Creamy Butters right before I turned this on, and he's really fucking pissed because a couple people at his work tested positive for the coronavirus, and Creamy Butters is like, I just wish I would have known. He didn't even know until they sent an email out like a few days later. And speaking of the coronavirus, I'm going to say it right here, right here, right now, right here, right now. If Rudy Giuliani survives the coronavirus, I am letting my guard all the way down. Who else is thinking this? Because we all have a level of fear in our heads. I've been a scaredy cat since day one for the most part. Trump got through the coronavirus. He skated through it. And if Rudy Giuliani skates through the coronavirus, I am going to go back to go to restaurants and bars, whichever ones are open. I'm going to be out there without a mask. I'm going to be socializing. I'm going to be throwing parties if Rudy makes it through. He's my barometer. Rob Hutchinson, you agree with that logic? If Rudy makes it, then we should all worry way less. Skylightframe.com, promo code Opie, O-P-I-E. I hope you've gotten your Skylight Frame this holiday season. This thing is really, really good, and I think out of all the things I'm pushing this holiday season, and I love a lot of the stuff, I think the Skylight Frame is the number one gift to get this holiday season, considering the circumstances we're all in with this damn pandemic, and a lot of people are staying home and they're not leaving their house and they can't socialize and they can't see family members and older people can't see their grandkids. And this Skylight Frame, it's beautiful, my friends. It really, really is nice. And they figured it out where the setup is nothing. And then you're living so far away and you want to send pictures to your mom, your dad, your grandma, I don't know, your grandfather. Should I keep listing people that you would send pictures to? And then you just send pictures when you're feeling it. And the person on the other end, you know, they got their Skylight Frame on like a regular picture frame. And all of a sudden, all the new pictures pop up. And then that person feels a little closer to you. I'm telling you, it's a perfect, perfect gift this holiday season. Really, really looks nice. The setup is really, really nice. You could send pictures from anywhere. And they pop up pretty much instantly on the Skylight Frame. All right? Now, as a special offer, you could get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com and enter code OPIE, O-P-I-E. That's right. To get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame, just go to skylightframe.com, enter code OPIE, O-P-I-E. That's S-K-Y-L-I-G-H-T-F-R-A-M-E, skylightframe.com. Promo code Opie. Wait, why is everyone saying sorry to Randy? What happened to Randy? Randy New from Get Parts on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, 72nd Street. What did I miss with Randy? Oh, his dad passed from the coronavirus? Randy's dad? Randy's dad? I'm really, 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 really sorry to hear that, Randy. He died of the coronavirus? What the fuck? Very, very sorry to hear that, sir. My thoughts go out to you and your family. I mean, this shit is getting so real. It's so weird because these numbers are exploding. And you got the vaccine coming. And it's going to be a crazy 3 or 4 months. And then I think after 3 or 4 months, you're going to see everything slowly starting to calm down. And I do believe we'll be out of the woods with this whole thing by, I'm going to say now, late spring. I think by late spring, we're looking at a very, very different situation. But until then, man, hold on fucking tight. You're going to get the vaccine? We were talking about that in the car as a family. And as long as I got this spot, we're pretty isolated and secure, and the kids are continuing to learn online. That's still up in the air. They're trying to open up the schools. I think they're going to shut down all the schools by Christmas because I think the numbers are going up too quickly again in New York City. So with all that said, if we got some time, we would rather wait. We would rather wait to see all the other people getting the vaccine and how they do, and there'll be more research that comes out and more studies. But if it was pretty obvious they were opening up the schools in January and everyone was going back to in-person learning, then I would definitely seriously look at getting the vaccine for my kids, because then it's worth it, because, you know, we want to get them back in school. I just don't trust it, man. A lot of vaccines, they take a really long time before they offer them to the public. And I know this was warp speed, and I know pretty much the whole world was working in unison on this thing. So I understand why they may have come up with this a lot quicker, because they really needed to figure it out quicker. But it still scares me, man. And I'm not one of these assholes that don't vaccinate my kids, and then next thing you know, your kids have diseases that were eradicated in the 1800s. I'm not one of those parents, trust me. My kids got all their shots. All of a sudden, you're walking around with the whooping cough. Like, what? We got rid of the whooping cough. Get your kids vaccinated. No one should be walking around with that awful cough that we figured out 100, 150 years ago that, oh, right, we don't need to have this around anymore. We don't need to have this around anymore, people. The whooping cough. What's some of those other diseases that are coming back? Yeah, I know this is a new, thank you, Todd. This is a new type of vaccine that actually changes or attaches to your DNA. Yeah, no, I know. And they're saying how they figured out this vaccination for the coronavirus. And, you know, this is going to be broad strokes hope. I read a couple paragraphs on it. It's very, very different. They're not actually giving you a piece of the virus on this one, on this vaccination. I know that much. And they're basically saying that this is so promising that it could really eradicate all sorts of other things that we deal with, all sorts of other viruses and diseases. I think I did pretty good with that, considering I read one article on it, and I gave up reading, I don't know, halfway through the article. That's what we all do, though. It's the instructions for your body to kill it, Jeff Berry says. Yeah, right on. Morning, Kim Barnum. You're late. Have a seat in the back. By the way, this live stream is sponsored by Blue Chew. BlueChew.com, promo code OPIE, O-P-I-E, to try it for free. Get a boner for the holidays. You read, Vinny says. Prep work, you go, Ope. No, I learned a long time ago. I had a program director. I loved him to death, Ron Valeri. He gave me a lot of life lessons, and he basically told me, he goes, dude, all you need to know about any article, you just read the first paragraph. If you feel like reading the second paragraph, that's even better, and that's all you need to read. And you're good to be an expert on the radio about any topic. Any topic. He was kind of right. Try it out for yourself when you're online. Read the first paragraph or the second paragraph. You'll be spewing all sorts of knowledge to your coworkers and family like you're an expert. I'm telling you right now. You want an autographed sunset for Christmas. Well, my guy was supposed to put that up on the website, opiradio.com, because I knew people would like that. That stunning sunset picture I took a couple weeks ago, I wanted to offer that, and I wanted to sign those things, because I think it's kind of cool, too, because that's more or less the view that we see every day when we do our live streams, when we get together like this. That'd be nice, right? Oh, my God. I just said, oh, my God, because you just made me think of my dad. He would have been 90. He would have never made 90. Are you kidding me? They were taking parts of his body left and right since I was in college. The amount of scars my dad had on his body was just insane. It was crazy. I remember he had open heart surgery, quadruple bypass surgery. And this animal, I mean, the generation before me, they were just way, way tougher. Way tougher. They laughed at being triggered. They laughed at PC crap. They laughed at cancel culture. That didn't exist for the generation before me. And my dad, I remember he had quadruple bypass surgery. Like, he couldn't even really walk before the surgery. He was in bad shape. And they rushed him in. He went to the VA hospital in New Haven, Connecticut. We stayed in a really, really shitty motel because it was really close to the VA hospital. I think I told the story where we all piled into one room, and I don't know why we only had... No, I think we got a couple rooms, actually, and my grandma was really worried about my dad. And we got this motel room, and we stayed up there probably for at least 3 or 4 days with my grandma. And we're having a really nice time in our motel room. My brother-in-law, Mikey, was there. My sister was there. Me and my grandma. I think that was it. And there was a trucker in the room next door. The walls were paper thin. And the guy was watching porn, hardcore porn, and having sex with a hooker, a lot lizard. And my grandma's like, can you go next door and tell them to turn the TV down? I honestly don't know. Oh, I got to tell the blowjob story, too. I honestly don't know that if she knew what was truly going on, because her hearing was a bit bad at that time. She could hear how loud it was. It was insane how loud it was. This truck was just railing this hooker in the room next to us, just railing. And she wanted me and Mike to knock on the door and tell him to turn down the TV. I'm like, me and Mike looked at each other like, we ain't fucking doing that. We don't know what we're going to encounter on the other side of that door. We left ourselves to sleep that night. And my grandma was so annoyed. But on the way, I remember one of the trips to check on my dad. We're on I-95. And I think I was in, like, It Matters. Oh, you're gonna try to figure out what car you were driving back then? Who cares? Christ. They don't need to know that. But anyway, I'm in a car. My grandma's in the front seat, in the passenger seat. I don't remember who else was in the car. I guess it doesn't really matter. And there was a car in the granny lane going really, really slow. I mean really slow. So we decide to pass them on I-95. And then you do what you do. You're like, why the hell are they driving slow? So as you're passing them by, I look to my right to see what the F is going on. And this woman is giving the driver a blowjob. I swear to whatever you believe in. And my grandma looked with me. She turned to me. And she smiled and obviously was remembering a time back in the day when she was a very different person and not just my grandma. The smile of recognition on her face. And I remember thinking to myself like, oh, my God. And then obviously I just quickly changed the subject and sped away from the car. I did not want to deal with the smile my grandma was giving me. No fucking way. Anyway, so my dad gets the quadruple bypass surgery. Man, I should talk about how he insisted on getting my mom out of the mental hospital, even though he just had his surgery done. Oh, can I fit that in here too? Yeah, all right. So what happened was my dad needed quadruple bypass surgery. He was in New Haven, Connecticut. He was in bad shape, and he really needed to rest. And it just so happened that my mom was in experimental treatment for her severe OCD. So basically, she was in a mental hospital, and she was in a place where we didn't have to worry about her at all because we all moved out of the house, and my dad's heart problems were horrendous. My mom's mental issues were horrendous. My dad couldn't really take care of my mom for the most part because of his heart issues. So what happened was we got my mom into this experimental treatment pretty close to New Haven. I think it was in Yale. And my dad was having his quadruple bypass surgery at the same time. He gets his surgery. The first thing he needs... And you want to talk about someone that's an enabler. We're thinking, oh, God, we could keep my mom in the mental hospital while my dad heals from his open heart surgery, right? My mom is insisting, get me the fuck out of here. Get me out of here. Where's your dad? And we would have my mom call my dad, who was recuperating. He was only like hours out of his surgery. And she's like, Freddie, get me out of here. And we're like, this is insane. It's not about you. Stay in the goddamn hospital so my dad can heal properly. So my dad had a lot of choice in this. He's like, I pick him up from the VA hospital. It was me. And he goes, let's go get your mom. I'm like, no, 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 no. Long story short, we went and got her out of the mental hospital because it was an experimental treatment thing so she could leave whatever the hell she wanted. But she didn't have a ride because I was like, I ain't picking you up. But then when my dad insisted to get her, then I had no choice. And then I remember driving back home to Long Island on I-95. The first stop we did, we stopped at a service area. My dad ordered the worst fast food you could possibly have, especially after open heart surgery. And my mom was just batshit crazy in the passenger seat, or in the back, I guess, because I was driving. And I'm like, this is completely insane, man. And my dad, you know, was having a tough time, you know. And my mom is just babbling in the back. And I drove him all the way to Long Island to the house that I grew up in, and I let him off. I made sure they got in the house, and I looked at him like, you two are on your own, man. This is not what we should be doing whatsoever. But my dad, a soldier, absolute soldier, he healed. And within a week, this is what I wanted to say about the generation before us. They weren't a bunch of pussies. A lot of pussies coming up. He started building another rock wall for our house a mere week or 2 weeks out of having open heart surgery. The generation before us were complete and utter animals. So just a weird day. I wanted to just turn this on, give my a couple thoughts on Patrice, our old friend, the goat. I don't know. I almost want to just turn this off now, to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie to you. But, I could give you one fun thing. So my wife a few years ago surprised me with the house decorated for Christmas out here. For me and the kids, obviously. And, yeah, we went a little fancy. There was a company. And they offered, you know, to do the Christmas lights and decorations on your house, all nice. We didn't go crazy, but we went decent, you know. A few strings of lights, a few giant wreaths that light up, and a few other little things. And it was classy, not over the top, but classy and nice. So the deal is with this company, they this is unbelievable. So you buy the decorations from the company, and they set it up all nice. And, you know, we came out here from the city and pulled up to the house, and it was such a moment. Everything was lit up all nice on timers and whatnot. Beautiful. And it really, really made the season very, very festive. So you fast forward, you take down the Christmas decorations, and they put them under your house. They actually take them down for you as well. And they put them under your house until the next year. And then they call you and they go, hey, you want your Christmas decorations up? And that's when I didn't give a fuck about money. Let's just be honest. I didn't care. So every year they would call and say, you want your Christmas decorations up? And I go, yeah, hell yeah. And they would come out and do it. And the house would look beautiful again. You fast forward a couple of years, we haven't done it because the kid lost a giant fucking lucrative job. So just like everyone else, I'm trying to figure out where I could save money. And one of the ways to save money was to not get these guys coming every Christmas season to put up the decorations. So we didn't do it the last couple of years. This year, I go, you know what? Those Christmas decorations are under the house. Why do we need those guys to set them up? I'll set them up. God damn it. So I go under. I get the bins. I get the wreaths out. One of the wreaths had a giant, scary, never seen this type of spider before. Cobwebs all over the damn thing. And I cleaned it up nice. And then I took the first string of lights. I go, I wonder if this works. So I plug it in. I actually was smart enough to tell the kids, back up a little bit, right? And I plug it in. And all of a sudden, a giant, like, I don't know what you would call it. I guess it was a blowout. It blew out the plug, although it didn't technically blow out the plug, but it blew out the no, it did blow out the plug. It didn't blow out the outlet, excuse me. And the outlet was all sooty. And it was, and the plug itself had a giant hole in it. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess these lights aren't going to work. So then I set up the wreaths. They worked fine. They looked nice on the house. And then they have other stuff that, you know, bigger lights that you could hang all around your house. And I start looking at this stuff, and I go, oh, those sons of bitches. They always know how to get you. Long story short, I can't set up anything else on the house because they cut all the wiring for the lights. And then there's parts. If you're like a beginner electrician, you could maybe figure it out, right? And there's some parts in the bin and other parts aren't in the bin. I looked at my wife. I'm like, I got to tell you what these sons of bitches did with this company. They get you to get the fancy lights and decorations for your house. They set it all nice. You obviously buy the decorations outright. And then every year, it's well over $1,000, by the way, to set it up. And then they want you to call them every year. So they cut the wiring and take some of the parts away. So if you call them up, I'm sure there's just a little box with your name on it, like, oh, this is for the Hughes house. And they come over and they re-splice all the wiring and the lights so only them can set it up. Only they can set it up, not you. So guess what? I just threw all the decorations in the goddamn garbage. They're always trying to get you. It's unbelievable. And I didn't even realize at first. I'm pulling out all this stuff, and I'm like, wait, there's no plug on this one. Wait, why is there just wires exposed on this? Wait, this is half a plug, and it looks like there's another part of the plug. All right, let me try to find the other part of the plug, and maybe I can splice these wires back together and get this thing working. And long story short, after fiddling about for about an hour, I realized, oh, wow, I don't have everything I need to set up the lights. Wow, wow, wow. Oh, laugh your goddamn. Everyone's now laughing at me. Everyone's laughing at me. And then my son, he's only 10. He goes, Dad, does everyone try to take advantage of people? Is that the game? And I'm like, I'm so glad you're learning this at 10 years old, my friend. I'm so glad. Yes, every single person out there will attempt to take advantage of you. So it's good you're learning that lesson early. Finally, Eric Stengel tweeted something that was absolutely amazing with this coronavirus thing. So he tweeted a coronavirus pinata for your kids' birthday parties. And he was out of his mind, like, look at this. What the F? He was really, really mad. So I guess you could get a coronavirus pinata. And it looks like, I don't know, is it a molecule? What is it that they've been showing over and over on TV? It's like a ball with those red spiky things all over the place. So you could get that as a pinata for your kid's birthday party. And they could, you know, get a bat and you blindfold them and they could take swings at the coronavirus pinata. And Eric Stengel was really, really mad and tweeted about this. And I started laughing my ass off because it brings back the memory that we talked about many, many times on the Opie and Anthony show. Enough time goes by, everything kind of makes sense and everything is possible. And I refer you to the time we talked about the Titanic kids slide that you could get for your kid's birthday party. One of the most tragic events in human history. Fast forward a whole bunch of generations, and you could set up in your backyard a replica of the Titanic with the smokestacks, and the kids climb a little ladder, get to the top, and slide down, bouncing off the smokestacks. Look it up for yourself if you don't believe me. And we obsessed about that for a long time on the Opie and Anthony show, and we ended up getting one for our celebrity softball game in Newark, New Jersey, and we put it in right field just to prove to people that, yes, you could get this for your kid's party. So I'm not surprised that they got a coronavirus pinata. I'm not surprised at all. In the UK, they are giving out the vaccine already for the coronavirus, and it made me laugh my ass off. I'm like, okay, the first person to get the coronavirus vaccination is a 90-year-old woman. And I quickly thought to myself, what do they know that they're not telling us about the coronavirus vaccine that they're trying it out on a 90-year-old woman? That makes me go, uh-oh, they don't got this thing totally figured out yet. But of course, the press and the media, they're running with it like, oh my God, they're starting to vaccinate people and the first person is a 90-year-old lady. They did that to see if she was going to drop dead. Don't be fooled by that. So that makes me think, we'll wait another month or two before we dip into the coronavirus vaccination thing.
Boo, 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 boo.
Boo 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 boo. Boo 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 boo